Do any of you rate your weeks? Any of you do this? No? Ever give it scores? No? Any of you do this? Some weeks, you win 4-0. What a week that is. What a glorious week to win 4-0. Some weeks a very exciting 3-3 draw with a last-minute equaliser, aren't they? Some weeks, what a week that's been of ups and downs and triumph and disaster. And then some weeks you just get hammered, don't you? Like 6-0 and it rained. Like some weeks. If I'm brutally honest, I haven't had the best week. My heart kind of flared up on Monday and Tuesday, which is why charity is insisting that I've got to sit down to speak for the rest of this morning. And it wasn't great, it knocked my confidence a little bit. But that's why I wanted to do that little activity there where we say something we're thankful for. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm having a bad week, I try and do three things. And the first thing I try and do is that. I try and list some of the things I am thankful for that week. Because no matter how bad your week is getting, there is always something that you can be thankful for, isn't there? Always. The fact that you guys have got enough health to walk to church this morning or get to church or drive to church and be sitting in your seat, then that is something to be thankful for, isn't it? Amen. That is a good thing. The fact that we live in a country where we are allowed to gather like this and we can belong to any religion we like without fear of the police knocking down the door and dragging us away like we talked about last week, that is a good thing and that is something to be thankful for, isn't it? That we've got freedom of religion, that we can meet together and we can worship God without fear of our life. That's a thing to be thankful for. So that's one of the things I try and do. I try and be thankful for what's going on in my life at the moment. The second thing I do is I look back and I try and remember all of the good things that God has done in my life in the past. It's a good thing to do. Think about the last 10 years of your life. There are things in the last 10 years that God has done in your life that you can be thankful for. Good things where you've been kept safe. Good things where you've had wonderful times. Good things in the past where God has moved in your life. So I try and remind myself of those. And the third thing I do is, what we try to do a bit at communion, is I want to look forward to a day where this kind of rubbish doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. I want to look forward to a better day. That's why the Rototo video gets me, because I watch that and I remember that there actually is hope in the world. That these kids who I've met and have had absolutely nothing, that if they can have their lives turned around by wonderful Christians in Uganda doing some incredible work, if that can be their story as they stand up and sing on the stage, as they will do in a few weeks about the goodness of it, if that can be their story, then I'm allowed to look forward to a better tomorrow. I'm allowed to look forward and say tomorrow can be better than today because I believe in hope. Amen. Three things. Thankful for today. Look back at what God's done. And I look forward to a better future. The reason why I share all this is because that, for me, is the story of Advent. And it's not just the story of Advent. For me, that's the story of the majority of the Old Testament of the Bible. Isn't it, Boaz? Yes. I'm glad you agree. If I ask you who wrote the Old Testament, what would you say? God. Who wrote most of the Old Testament? Moses. Yeah, people are saying Moses. People are saying David. So the people who wrote most of the Old Testament, I would say the same thing. I'd probably say Moses and David. Great leaders. Moses, great leader. Took the people out of Egypt. Think about David, incredible king. Ruled over Israel. Saw wonderful victories. Mighty men, powerful men, successful men. But they didn't write it down first. I asked you who wrote most of the Old Testament. And the truth is that for many centuries, and I hope I've got this right, the Old Testament was passed down through stories. You told the story to your kids, and then they told it to their kids, and they told that story to their kids, and they told that story to their kids. The people who first wrote down the Old Testament, the majority of it, Moses didn't write down most of the Old Testament. David didn't write down most of the Old Testament. The people who wrote down most of the Old Testament were a bunch of slaves living in Babylon. People who'd been taken from their homes and seen their families murdered. They probably had hooks put in their mouths and dragged across many countries. That was the reality of the people who were on exile in Babylon. And what did the people who were doing in Babylon do? They told stories of their past. Most of this Old Testament was not written down by David or by Moses. They passed those stories on. The first people to start writing this stuff down, most of it, they were a bunch of slaves in Babylon. Why is that important for us at Advent? Because when I think about what these people went through, firstly, it puts my week into perspective, doesn't it? Like, I mean, I'm not a slave in Babylon, so that's a bonus. But it puts my week in perspective. But also, I think it's a powerful thing to do to remind ourselves of what God has done. Why do you think these people started writing down the Bible? Because they wanted to write down the good stories that in the past God has led us out of Egypt. In the past God has led us out of slavery. In the past we have been free and we believe that God can do it again. That's why they started writing it down. The other cool thing about the Old Testament, and I'm aware I'm doing quite a lot of Old Testament quite quickly because there's quite a lot of it, but just to give you a broad brush perspective. The other thing I quite like about the Old Testament, as it's being written down by these slaves who have got rubbish lives, just not very nice at all, and as they're starting to write down these stories, what you get is a sense that there's a bit of hope brewing. There's a bit of hope. People who have been slaves for decades and generations, they start to believe that tomorrow can be better than today. And that is a very powerful thing. So you read some of the stories. You read some of the things that they chose to write down. I'm going to read. This morning, I literally just picked a random book in the Old Testament and I thought I'd read the last chapter to you. So this is just this is the kind of stuff they're writing down. This is from the end of Hosea. It says, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Bring your confessions, return to the Lord. The Lord says, then I will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever." That's the end of the story of Hosea. Because Hosea says, yes, we've been through all this rubbish, we're in a terrible situation, but we believe that tomorrow can be better than today. So they write down something like that. Joel. If I turn the page in my Bible, it's Joel 3. And this is the last bit. "Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, live in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will be holy forever, and foreign armies will never conquer her again. In that day, the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. Water will fill the stream beds of Judah." Do you kind of see what's happening in the Old Testament? You've got these people who have been living in slavery for hundreds of years, but they know that in the past God has done something good, so they can have faith that God will do something good again in the future. That's why I tried to do it this week. Because when you're having a bad week, you're thankful for today, you look back at what God's done in the past because you can have faith that that thing can happen again in the future. And so you have generations and generations of people writing down these stories, but God has done it in the past and we believe he can do it again in the future. Then we get to this bit. Don't know if you can see. This is the end of the Old Testament. Now, I was tempted to have this next page as the reading for today, but I thought it would be a bit mean on Beth, because I think it's one of the best pages in the Bible. At least it's one that inspires me on weeks like this. Because we have the Old Testament here. Yeah? Old Testament. New Testament here. Yeah? That's where Jesus arrived. Jesus here. Old Testament here. And this bit. You see this page. This page. I like this page. The blank one. That page. 400 years, that page. 400 years. 400 years of people writing down stories, telling stories, living through rubbish, saying, but God has done it in the past, and God will do it again in the future. 400 years of people waiting and whispering and believing that maybe tomorrow can be better than today, because God has done it in the past, and God will do it again. Amen. In the future. For 400 years, the people, they tell these stories. They write them down. They start saying, God has done it in the past, God will do it again in the future. And they get a sense that what is coming is not just for them. It's not just, oh, God's going to release all the Israelites from slavery, hooray, and they'll be their own free country. As wonderful as that is. They realise that all of us are slaves to something. That the slavery that they experienced for 400 years wasn't just an external thing, it's something that all of us have in our hearts. Right. For those of you who struggle with addiction, you'll know that's true, won't you? For those of you who've met people who struggle with addiction, you know that's true. It's all very well being freed from slavery. But when the slavery's inside you, that's a little bit harder.
So then they start writing down things like this. They say, for unto us a child will be born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will reign on David's throne and establish his kingdom with justice and righteousness. And the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. As they start writing down these stories and say, in the past we were free, in the future we're going to be free. They start realising that this could be freedom for everybody. This isn't just freedom for the Israelites. This isn't just freedom for the people who are under the cross of the Babylonians. This is freedom for everyone. This is freedom for the Arabs. This is freedom for the street kids. This is freedom for us. This is the potential that maybe God is going to move in such a way that we haven't seen before. 400 years, they tell these stories. They write them down. They look forward to something, a new move of God. 400 years of waiting for God to move. 400 years of thinking, maybe tomorrow will be better. Maybe God's going to show up. Maybe God's going to change this situation. Maybe we're not going to be slaves anymore. 400 years. And then, after 400 years of waiting, 400 years of a blank page, a teenage girl gets pregnant unexpectedly. Wasn't quite what they had in mind. But 400 years, a nation of people looking forward. God's going to move. It's going to be amazing. Not only are we going to be free, but this is a freedom for everybody. It's not just going to be a freedom from the Babylonians. This is going to be a freedom for our hearts. We won't have to suffer with this sadness. We won't have to suffer with these addictions. We won't have to suffer with this crushing pain anymore. And after 400 years, teenage girl gets pregnant. Not particularly wanted child by the guy she's with.
Ever wait for a long time for something to happen and it's not quite what you expected? Yeah, I'm getting some nods for that. 400 years. God's moving. That's why I like Advent so much. This is what the angel says to Joseph. Joseph, the guy who's found out that his fiance is pregnant, which is an awkward conversation to have. Unfortunately, Joseph talked to an angel. And I feel if anyone can convince Joseph not to break up with her, it's probably an angel. He says this, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Because after 400 years, when God moves, he does it in a way that not many people were expecting. An unwanted teenage pregnancy is not what people were expecting God to do in terms of moving. But the angel says to Joseph, this is what you've been waiting for. This is what people have been yearning for generations. This child is going to change everything. And Joseph has a choice. Do you want to get involved or do you want to walk away? I'm a firm believer in free will. And I think that if Joseph had decided, to be honest, I can do without that hassle, see you later, he could have done, left Mary. Mary would have still given birth to Jesus. Jesus would have still come into the world. But Joseph says yes to what God's doing.
Even though it's not what he would expect, even though it's not what he would have liked, even though it messed up his plans for a happy family, even though that it wasn't what he was hoping for, Joseph says, actually, God is moving here, so I choose to say yes to this. Because sometimes God moves in ways that we ain't expecting. It's a bit uncomfortable, and it puts us out a bit. And our choice is still the same. Do you say yes to it, or do you walk away? 400 years these people were waiting for something to change. And a baby is born. And it changes everything. I think that for several of us, we might not have had the best week. Some of you have had great weeks. Fantastic. Have you had another one next week? But for some of us, we haven't had the best week. We need to do three things. We need to be thankful for the good things that are happening today. We need to look back at the times in our past that God has moved, and we can have hope that tomorrow will be better than today. We can hold on to the hope of that blank page that for 400 years they didn't see anything change, and then all of a sudden, everything changed. I think that for those of us who haven't had good weeks, those are three good things to do. Be thankful for today, look back at what God has already done, and look forward to a better future. And I'd also encourage you that when God moves in a way you're not expecting, to say yes to it. To say yes to it. Because you never quite know what's going to happen. But we know that we worship a God who fulfills his promises, even if it takes longer than we might have wanted. Less pressure. Then we're going to finish this.
Father, we thank you for these stories that have been written down, these stories that give us hope. Father, this morning there are so many things we want to be thankful for, so many good things in our lives, but we're also honest about the stuff in our lives that we wish was different. I thank you that your Bible gives us heroes and people that we can cling to and stories we can agree with and things that resonate with us. We know that your Bible is full of people who have had good weeks and full of people who are having terrible weeks. And we thank you, God, that there is always, always hope. Amen. We pray we would know that, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, this Advent season especially. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.